This edition of the Crunch Zone is brought to you by the O-Line Sports Grill. O-Line is on the front line of Cardinal sports. Come in for wings, happy hour, and $3.99 burgers every Tuesday. It's a sports fan's dream. At the corner of Westport Road and Hurstburn Lane, see the menu online at olinegrill.com and text CRUNCH to 72727 for a buy one, get one free entree.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
You are now listening to the Crunch Zone, coming at you live from Crumbs Revenge's backyard for reals. This is Mike Lindsay, also known as Crumbs Revenge, and I'm with
Mark Blankenbaker and U of L Sheriff 50.
And we are here to talk about Governor's Cup, U of L updates. We are glad to be back. We took the week off with the holiday.
And EKU, and it was an FCS opponent, and we're categorically against that game.
Nobody wants to talk about that or listen to it.
Yeah, not really at all.
But we're back now, and we've got a huge game, but I want to talk with some program updates before we get to the Governor's Cup.
Program update.
Looks like we've got some basketball scrimmages coming up. October 5th, 12th, and 19th. That is a Saturday. That is the next Saturday. And then that is the next Saturday.
So Saturday, Saturday, Saturday is what you're saying.
Three in a row. And along with that, we've got something for sale.
Yeah, we have the big, you know, the national championship floor is for sale. Northwestern Mutual is, provided that to the University of Louisville, and all proceeds are going to go to the pediatric cancer. So it's for a good cause. It's a something for your wall, something to remember the 2013 championship from. The floor in the Georgia Dome where the Cards won the third national championship. The most expensive option is there is actually Rick Pitino signed. They have two other cheaper options that you can go on gocards.com and go and, you know, get your part of history.
I'm 41 years old. I'm really old. And I was like in seventh grade when we won the national title. I think it's hard not to get a piece of the floor once this goes down just because – just speaking from experience, it could be a long freaking time before we win another.
And I have confetti in a plastic bag from the floor. So if you want to call me after you get your floor, you know, I might be able to get you a piece of confetti. So just let me know.
Working deals. He'll sell to you for the low, low price of $1,000 a scrap.
Yeah, $1,000 per inch.
Yeah. Pricing starts at $99, so that's going to be your low end. And I think the autographed Rick Pitino board with a nice little print on it, stamped in there or something, is like $499. I think that's what it is.
Right.
And there's only 1,000 of those. So even if you wanted some of those and you were willing to pay for it, you may not get it.
Yeah, and, you know, Pitino's been signing stuff all summer long. I mean, it's just been like Maker's Mark bottles, floors of championships, and, you know, probably checks. Probably he's probably been
we might need to put the Teddy Bridgewater rule on him to make these signatures mean something.
He's going to have like a decrepit hand from all these autographs he's been signing. So maybe we should give him a break. Maybe it's time because, you know, he just made a fantastic speech at the Hall of Fame this week.
Rick Pitino officially in the Hall of Fame, and he was the I think he was kind of the feature speaker. They closed with him.
He's
and
the closer.
Know, he's certainly known for public speaking and whatnot. So
yeah, you know, I think his speech did. You know, he tried to encompass his entire career. He kind of skipped over the Boston Celtics a little bit, but he really focused a lot on Kentucky, and then he closed with the University of Louisville, where he said that the 13 years that I've spent here have taught me about what family is about. He said his best friends in life. Tom Jurich, Kenny Klein, the people that are in the program. And I think he just kind of like really appreciates his moment there at the Hall of Fame, even though his career isn't over. You know, maybe he can make a couple of amendments before he actually does it, retire to his plaque there in the Hall of Fame, add a couple championships, add a couple Final Fours, and, you know, go out on top because, honestly, he could go out right now and nobody could fault him at all.
Absolutely. In fact, I'd be probably one of the people that said as soon as he wins a title, he retires.
Yeah, and I honestly expected him to win the title right off in the sunset. His son's a head coach at a Big Ten school. He's in the Hall of Fame. What else can he really do? I just think he enjoys it that much, and I think he's going to coach at Louisville for him more than – you know, Louisville's going to have him as, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think it's all about timing, and I think had he won this title with T-Will and Earl Clark, he might have retired. He was outspoken about how that team was high maintenance and very frustrating to deal with. Mm-hmm. And then when he changed the brand and had Preston Leadership as the role model for making sure that brand was delivered and how he wanted it, he just started having fun with basketball again. And I think winning the title, having that much fun, he gets to stick around. That's great news for us.
We had a lot of fun with him, too.
Yeah, we sure as hell did. We had a lot of fun. And back to the scrimmage, just so you know, $10 for the lower side and $5 for end zone and uppers. And I think this is, to be honest, you got to go to one of these because first look at all these new guards that are really good. And Peyton Seavey, you saw his article where he was saying that the talent's going to be better than last year. I think he's wrong. I think the talent is, you know, might be overall better at guard, you know, but we are definitely losing a force with Gorky Jang. But this is your first look at these guards, and they're phenomenal. They're athletic, they're fast, they're competitive, and they're fun.
Well, don't forget about Okoye Gao and Mango Mathiang. You know,
I think they'll be good role players.
Yeah,
is what I think.
I mean, yeah, I think right away they'll be real good role players. But I mean, I look at the development of Gorky Jang, who did not know how to play basketball.
I just wish
3 years ago
we had junior year Gorky Jang playing next
year. Oh my goodness!
So
yes,
you know, that's where I think Louisville's going to suffer a little bit. And in Shane Behanna this week in an article, maybe with Mike Hughes and Inside the Ville, even said to that fact, we're really going to miss Gorky because he cleaned up all of our messes.
He did.
Like when we would get blown by on defense, you know, Gorky would fix that problem, and we don't really have that. Now, I think Mango, they say, is really athletic and probably will be a good shot blocker, but I think right now he's the jumping shot blocker and not the instinctive shot blocker.
Right,
so
absolutely.
Gorky follows his defender. He knows when to jump. He times it. He's not a great jumper. He just is very long, and he knew instinctively kind of how to make that play happen, where I think Mango's going to get a lot of foul trouble because I think he's going to be the guy that goes for the pump fakes. I have never seen Mango play. I have zero experience on this guy.
You never know.
This is what it sounds like to me, and
he
we'll
could
see
be
if I'm right. I could be 100% wrong.
He could be Hakeem Olajuwon back there. We have no idea.
But I think we probably would have heard the secrets of the camp.
He probably would have played
Hakeem
last
Olajuwon.
Year. But I'm really excited about the backcourt pressure that's coming back. You know, Chris Jones, Russ Smith. I know Kevin Ware is probably going to be a while, but just the speed that they're going to have in the backcourt, again, I'm excited for that because they can change up with big guards and small guards and go with, you know, Anton Gill or Terry Rozier and kind of really change it up. But I'm really interested to see what the dynamic of a Chris Jones, Russ Smith backcourt is going to bring. Shooting first guards. And, you know, where he had Peyton before, he was always looking to pass and get assists. But he was also of great at picking people's pockets. So I'm excited to see what happens here because I think Louisville basketball is going to be really fun to watch, and their schedule is going to be a lot like their football schedule. They're going to have a lot of big wins, and so we're going to have fun with that.
All right, continuing on with updates, it is football season, so we'll talk about some football ones. For one, as we know, as Louisville tries to run the table and hopefully lands into the BCS national title game, which could be difficult with the schedule points. We'll see what the computers do to Louisville. But part of that is Poll Chaos. And I know Mark's talked a lot about that already, about the Poll Chaos. And this week, we have got games for you to hate on. So we've got Mark posted this just a couple days ago.
Actually, today.
A couple days ago, also known as – well, we could say a couple days ago because this will run tomorrow.
Yeah, so. This is going to run tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, this ran on Thursday, if you can remember, all the way back to yesterday. But some of the games to watch are?
You know, you got to cheer for every team in the AAC, the American Athletic Conference. That's kind of your first and foremost deal because if they win games against out-of-conference opponents, that will definitely increase Louisville because they're going to play them the biggest game.
What are the most interesting AAC matchups? It's probably only
Central Florida, Penn State is the matchup this week, absolutely.
Okay.
If Central Florida can beat Penn State, a ranked team, they and on the road, by the way, they host South Carolina next week in Orlando. So they could have
create
a buzz around the Knights, and then they come in October to Papa John's Cardinal Stadium for a big game there. And then of course, it's Alabama A&M. One of those teams is going to lose. Both those teams are in front of the Louisville Cardinals. And I actually kind of like the Tennessee-Oregon game, even though I don't think Tennessee will beat Oregon. It could be interesting.
I really want to credit Tennessee. They're like the only SEC school that plays out of conference. Yeah. And they'll play on the road. Like, they are they're just one of the few SEC schools that says, we are not afraid to play top teams from other conferences and and we don't have to make them come to us.
Right, and it doesn't depend on the year. A lot of like LSU and Alabama. Well, Alabama's been good for a long time. They'll play teams when they know that they're going to have a really good team. You know, they know what their recruiting looks like 2 or 3 years out, so they'll schedule for that. Tennessee always seems to play a game like that. I also like, you know, going in is the Cal-Ohio State game. You know,
Cal suck though?
I know, but it's.
I mean, I wish. You know.
But it's in Cal, okay. So that kind of plays into a part. You saw Rutgers in the opening week fly out to Fresno and really didn't look like Rutgers.
Las Vegas, we need you to send the referees over to the Cal-Ohio State game.
It would be outstanding. But after that, there's not a lot of poll chaos that can happen. You got Vanderbilt, South Carolina. That could be a great game for the Cards if Vanderbilt could beat South Carolina and kind of knock them out altogether. And then Louisville fans will just root for South Carolina the rest of the year.
Who really do we prefer between Alabama and Texas A&M? Because Texas A&M looks like they have one or two technically tough games on their schedule. So this is one of them.
Well, you can kill two
Alabama
birds.
Doesn't have that tough of a schedule, too, relatively
they
speaking.
They don't.
So I don't know who I'd rather lose in this
Well,
game.
In other words, who's
more likely to lose later?
Well, this is what I think Louisville fans hope for. Whoever wins this game, you want them to win the rest of their games, I think, because that way you at least have an SEC championship that's a champion that's undefeated, rather than having an SEC champion with one loss and then possibly getting another SEC team in with one loss. But you can kill two birds with one stone if Alabama blows out A&M.
If they beat each other.
Right. Well, yeah, that's true. But
They can't do that. You thought I was going somewhere serious with that.
I did. Like,
that's true. Well, if they both can register a loss in this game.
In the West, they could beat each other again in the championship game. But these both West teams.
That's what I meant.
But Johnny Manziel is a Heisman Trophy candidate. If Alabama beats A&M, that helps Teddy Bridgewater and Louisville's chances to get to the BCS National Championship. One of these teams is going to lose. It might as well be an A&M and help out Teddy Bridgewater in his bid to get to the Heisman Trophy. I think right now Teddy's main competition is Johnny Manziel and Taj Boyd and potentially Jadeveon Clowney, but I do not see Jadeveon Clowney being up for the Heisman Trophy. I think he'll make it to New York potentially, but I think the serious contenders will be on offense
this year. Your comment said it best was when Elvis Dumervil almost broke the NCAA record for sacks of 20.5, he wasn't even whiffed. No one even said anything about him. And then Jadeveon Clowney last year averaged 4 tackles per game, and all of a sudden he gets all this hype.
Yeah, 4 tackles per game, that's not a high performance.
The O-Line Sports Grill. O-Line is on the front line of Cardinal sports. Come in for wings, happy hour, and $3.99 burgers every Tuesday. It's a sports fan's dream at the corner of Westport Road and Hurstburn Lane. See the menu online at olinegrill.com and text CRUNCH to 72727 for a buy one, get one free entree.
We've got Cards in the Pros. So last week, there is a feature that we run every week, and usually it's in the first couple of days, I think.
We'll run it on Wednesdays.
Is it Wednesdays? Okay. That we have a guy, Chris Raggers, big-time UofL fan, follows NFL, and he puts out a great tidied-up list of every UofL football player. And even, he'll put offensive linemen, although, there might be nothing to really say. But he'll at least got a good list of who's playing in the NFL from UofL. And the big winners this week, I would have to say, one is Harry Douglas.
Absolutely.
4 catches, 93 yards. They lost a close one to the Saints, 23-17. Who else?
Harry just took advantage of Roddy White being out of the lineup for the Falcons. I mean, he was kind of a decoy, so it was really going to be Julio Jones and Harry Douglas out there. And I think you look at Bilal Powell, the Jets. I mean, he's their starting running back, and he came out and – they got a win. He didn't put up huge numbers or anything like that, but the New York Jets are non-offensive teams, so them winning a game is big time. I think the big winner is Josh Bellamy making the Chargers practice squad, to be honest with you, because he got cut by the Chiefs. He was out of football. Chargers picked him up, said, we're going to keep you, stash you away for next year. And the Chargers have been desperate for wide receivers for a long time. Something happens to one of their guys now, he can make that team in the first 8 weeks.
Yeah, and so practice squad makes like $100,000. Like, a lot of people don't realize that practice squad makes still pretty good cash. It's a big jump from, I think the minimum is somewhere around $300,000, something like that. Right. So it's a big jump to get from practice to the main squad. But what an opportunity. You always want to have a chance, a foot in the door, and that's what this is.
Absolutely. And you stay in football. You're a part of an organization. They get to know you. They get to see your game. It's big time to make practice squad, especially for a guy who's undrafted, free agent. And, you know, this will probably be the most down year in the NFL for the Cardinals, probably since, you know, before John L. Smith arrived. This will probably be the worst year in the NFL because Steve Kragthorpe really didn't put very many players in the NFL, and the roster was decimated when Charlie Strong came in. So there's been a lot of young players. The last player that Louisville had drafted was in the 2012 draft, and that was only one player, seventh round, Greg Scruggs, who's hurt this year for the Seattle Seahawks.
And,
so,
and certainly a lot of veterans have already fallen off. Deion Sanders currently not playing.
Deion Branch, you mean.
I mean, Deion. He was really good for Louisville, by the way.
Chris Redman.
And then Ted Washington, you know, a few years ago also.
Yeah.
We call him the round mound of rebound. Why not?
Right.
Let's give Charles Barkley's nickname.
And Amobi Okoye is sitting out this year. And we'll see if he can make it back into the league. You know, but he's dealing with an injury that has kept him out from re-signing with the Bears, but he's still in contact with that organization. So we'll see how that goes in the next year ahead.
And just to, you know, Elvis Dumervil, I mean, we've got a lot of good players that are out there. You know, you can watch him for the Ravens. Bilal Powell, you'll probably be able to tune into a Jets and see a lot of Bilal Powell because they love the way he blocks, and they're also using him both rushing. He had 29 yards rushing and 35 yards receiving, and that was only 12 carries on rushing. So it's not like they're running him a lot, but they're using him a lot because it's blocking, running, passing. So we know how Bilal Powell can break one at any time. So hopefully we'll get to catch one of those live. We're certainly rooting for him.
Yeah, and we think Mike Bush will probably get a lot more increased carries with the Chicago Bears than he did the first week. Matt Forte basically got everything, even in the goal line. So I think Michael Bush, he always is kind of like the second guy. The guy in front of him always ends up getting hurt. So you'll see more of him as the season goes along. It's just the curse of the running back in front of Michael Bush. Michael Bush will start games this year in the NFL, I guarantee it.
Bush will play football as long as he wants to because he'll never get hurt. He'll always be the second string. He'll always be a very, very good backup when the starter gets hurt. And he doesn't have to take the pounding. I mean, that's one of they say the backup quarterback's the best gig in sports. Hold the clipboard, make tons of money,
right?
And just play a couple games at the end of the year when they're out of playoff contention. Or
the Bears really had trouble last year because, you know, Cutler got hurt, and then they had and Forte was hurt. Bush played with broken ribs. It was a bad deal, and everybody's healthy now. So we'll see what the Bears do.
All right, let's move to the game of the week.
Game of the week.
The Governor's Cup 2013. It's at Commonwealth Stadium, noon. ESPN broadcast. It's going to be an incredible game. I thought it was interesting that the line opened up at 7.5 points. Vegas actually shut down their casinos because there were several college football lines that were off, so you couldn't bet on several of these games for a while. And then they reopened the line. It opened back up at 10.5 to 11. That's already shot up to 15. By the time this broadcast, it'll probably be even higher than that. So a lot of people are betting on Louisville. 92% of the action has happened on the University of Louisville Cardinals. And this is a chance for Louisville to kind of come in three in a row. When Charlie Strong and the Cardinals beat the University of Kentucky in 2011, he said in the locker room, now that we've won, they'll never beat us again. And so now it's coming in. It doesn't look like Kentucky has a chance in this game. Teddy Bridgewater has it an obvious advantage against the Kentucky secondary. Kentucky's going to have to bring a ton of pressure in order to get to Teddy Bridgewater to force throws. And I don't even know if that pressure will get there. They haven't seen an offensive line like what the University of Louisville has. The Cardinals have only allowed one sack on the year. And, you know, I think the running game is going to have a big game. The trend in this game has always been who runs the ball the best wins the game.
And that's 17 games in a row, folks. Whoever's led the rushing game has won 17 straight football games in this series.
And Kentucky has one running back in Raymond Sanders that could probably get snaps at the University of Louisville. The Cards have Michael Dyer, Sonoris Perry, Brandon Radcliffe,
Dominic Brown.
Yeah, and Dominic Brown. I mean, you have four guys, you know, and Dyer, Perry, Radcliffe, and Brown that would probably play a ton of snaps for the University of Kentucky at the running back position. So I think, you know, the Cards even have an advanced they have an extreme advantage in the running game, too. So they have an advantage in the passing game. They have an advantage in the running game. We're talking about the Kentucky offense that was one of the worst in the country last year.
But looks like Kentucky figured out a lot of their problems. So last year, or sorry, week one against Western Kentucky, they had Jalen Whitlow throwing the ball. He was doing terrible. They were running the ball. Doing okay.
The Governor's Cup 2013, it's at Commonwealth Stadium, noon, ESPN broadcast. It's going to be an incredible game. I thought it was interesting that the line opened up at 7.5 points. Vegas actually shut down their casinos because there were several college football lines that were off, so you couldn't bet on several of these games for a while. And then they reopened the line. It opened back up at 10.5 to 11. That's already shot up to 15 by the time this broadcast. It'll probably be even higher than that. So a lot of people are betting on Louisville. 92% of the action has happened on the University of Louisville Cardinals. And this is a chance for Louisville to kind of come in three in a row. I really, you know, when Charlie Strong and the Cardinals beat the University of Kentucky in 2011, he said in the locker room, now that we've won, they'll never beat us again. And so now it's coming in. It doesn't look like Kentucky has a chance in this game. Teddy Bridgewater has an obvious advantage against the Kentucky secondary. Kentucky's going to have to bring a ton of pressure in order to get to Teddy Bridgewater to force throws. And I don't even know if that pressure will get there. They haven't seen an offensive line like what the University of Louisville has. The Cardinals have only allowed one sack on the year. And, you know, I think the running game is going to have a big game. The trend in this game has always been who runs the ball the best wins the game.
And that's 17 games in a row, folks. Whoever's led the rushing game has won 17 straight football games in this series.
And Kentucky has one running back in Raymond Sanders that could probably get snaps at the University of Louisville. The Cards have Michael Dyer, Sonoris Perry, Brandon Ratcliffe,
Dominic Brown. Ratcliffe,
yeah, and Dominic Brown. I mean, you have four guys, you know, and Dyer, Perry, Ratcliffe, and Brown that would probably play a ton of snaps for the University of Kentucky at the running back position. So I think, you know, the Cards even have an advanced, they have an extreme advantage in the running game, too. So they have an advantage in the passing game. They have an advantage in the running game. We're talking about the Kentucky offense that was one of the worst in the country last year.
But looks like Kentucky filled out a lot or figured out a lot of their problems. So week one against Western Kentucky, they had Jalen Whitlow throwing the ball. He was doing terrible. They were running the ball. Ryan Timmons is one such guy. So he's now top of the depth chart. He was a guy last year who was, I think, from Frankfurt in high school. But he probably would have been Mr. Kentucky football literally every year in the last 10 years, except for that he was doing all his numbers behind James Quick, which some say might be the best high school product ever out of Kentucky. So he had some bad timing. That does not make him a bad player. He's a very good player. He's a freshman, so we'll see what he does. But I think he's a guy that officially makes UK's offense a little bit interesting.
Well, you can kind of see the difference in the programs, too. Louisville didn't recruit Ryan Timmons at all. They only took James Quick because he was in their backyard and he was a top-level talent. James Quick has yet to catch a pass at the University of Louisville. Ryan Timmons is a major part of Kentucky's offense. So right away, if you just want to go apples to apples, that's a great example of the differences in the program.
Good measuring stick.
And so, you know, if you're going to try to pick a winner, you know, Ryan Timmons, he's a great player, and he's going to be a great player. But he's a true freshman playing his third game in college football, first rivalry game in college football. The Western Kentucky game might have turned into a rivalry, but Kentucky's not going to play that again. So this is a big-time game. And so I think Ryan Timmons is going to be awesome. But James Quick, just by comparison, isn't really factoring for the University of Louisville at this point.
And what do you think Ryan Timmons. So what do you think Raymond Sanders is going to do? Obviously, you know, Louisville got some good news that Keith Brown's going to be traveling. He's playing. Maybe he plays. Maybe not. I'm not even worried about it. He's an awesome player. We're better with him. But I think our linebackers are good enough to handle that. But how does he mix in? Because he catches some balls in the backfield, so – you know, what kind of game do you think he can have against Louisville's defense?
Yeah, I don't see Raymond Sanders getting a lot in the running game, to be honest with you, because I think Preston Brown, James Burgess, and George Fran are going to do an awesome job in the run game and filling holes against behind that defensive line. I think if they're going to get anything with Raymond Sanders, anything significant, it's going to be on a screen. They're going to have to roll him out and get good blocking. Kentucky's offensive line, I'm not real high on. I don't really think that they're very good. They lost Larry Warford from a year ago and another offensive lineman that was also pretty good. I think his name was Matt Smith, that were really, really solid players. But even though those two guys are gone, their offensive line statistics were awful last year. So now you're bringing in a whole bunch of players who couldn't play on that offensive line to play against, play in this year. I know that some of it's coaching and scheme and, all accounts, this staff has got this group going well.
And I wouldn't even knock Louisville's coaching.
Right. But it's personnel.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, and the offensive line position is all about having veteran guys. We saw what happened in the first part of 2011 when Louisville didn't have veteran offensive linemen. They lost a ton of games at the beginning. As the season went on, they started winning some of those games. They got better. But right now, still early in the season for the University of Kentucky, I don't like the offensive line. I don't like their defensive secondary. And I think Louisville's going to win.
Now, the defensive secondary for Kentucky a couple days ago did get a boost because there was a player who was not eligible or wasn't playing or was hurt. Quinn, his last name Quinn, I think.
Yeah.
How much does he – obviously, Louisville's got really good wide receivers. But Louisville's – or sorry, Kentucky's defensive secondary was pretty bad. So, how much does Quinn help?
Well, Quinn helps because he's a kind of a tackling guy. So, you have field corner, boundary corner. He would be the boundary guy. Nate Willis would be your field guy. More somebody that they trust covering a lot more space. Quinn's somebody who can actually come up and tackle. That being said, both guys are still really green. And the University of Louisville wide receivers, Devontae Parker, Damian Copeland, Eli Rogers, Robert Clark specifically, are going to have a big day against these guys because they haven't really gone up against guys like that. Western Kentucky, good set of receivers. Miami of Ohio, no receivers. Okay, no receivers at all. So you can have big games against teams that are kind of average to below average, but these are wide receivers that shredded the number one pass efficiency defense in the country in last year's Sugar Bowl. And, Devontae Parker is already third all-time in touchdowns at the University of Louisville in receptions, and he's only two games into his junior season. So the Louisville wide receivers are awesome, and this is a major mismatch. And then you throw in the fact that you have Teddy Bridgewater as a Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback, and it's just not fair.
Is there anything Kentucky has an advantage over Louisville besides home field? I would not put coaching.
I don't really think that
I think
they
coaching,
do.
It's Louisville.
Yeah.
Any of the lines. Their defensive line's not bad. So the only thing I can think of is maybe their defensive line causes some problems
because they
don't
that.
Look like they're in shape.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But Bud Dupree moved up from linebacker to the line. He's a good player. I think they should move him back to linebacker, but whatever.
They might have an advantage when you go tight end to tight end matchup. But tight ends don't play other tight ends. Tight ends play linebackers and safeties, right? So at the tight end position, they probably have a better tight end group. But I like our number one tight end, Gerald Christian. Hubble's okay, but he's not he's not transcendent like I think Gerald Christian can be. But when you put the Kentucky tight ends up against the Louisville linebackers, James Burgess, Preston Brown, George Durant, Calvin Pryor, Hakeem Smith, I don't see it as that much of an advantage if they have an advantage at all. But if they did have an advantage, that's where it would be.
I think Keith Brown will play. I think he will play five plays.
Yeah, he might play.
Literally, I think it'll be someone's really extra tired right now. Keith, run it, go in and own it for a play and then get back out.
I think it's going to be important for Keith to get on the field and, test that knee out. I think that they wouldn't put him out there in practice if they didn't feel really confident in his knee. Vance said he's out of shape, so maybe he's got a little less burst or maybe he's a little stamina issue, but I don't see him being a significant player on Saturday, but I do think that he will see the field.
And I know you've gone to a lot of the practices, so we'll wrap up with some of that. You've seen a lot of interviews, Watson. These are all available, by the way, on thecrunchzone.com, so you can check out all these Governor's Cup as you're listening today, getting some Governor's Cup, some preview here. I mean, Mark Sheriff review is out for the Governor's Cup, which probably could be in hardback, but check it out. A lot of information. And then all the interviews from after practice are there too, so you can get your Governor's Cup fill at thecrunchzone.com. But with all the interviews, is there it seems like everyone's being kind of nice and respectful to each other. Anything stick out in any of the interviews that kind of caught your attention and as we lead into this game?
I think Sean Watson is dialed in, more than I've ever really seen him. I think he's actually offended by last week's 44-point blowout over EKU. I get the feeling that he wanted to have 700 yards, and they didn't get that. And I think that he's actually angry. Vance Bedford, I think he's a pleased, happy guy. And he kind of said some nice things about Neil Brown and Kentucky's offense. But he said, you know, I think that, you know, you're coming into my house and, you know, it's going to get nasty. And, you know, you can see his exact quote on the crunchzone.com on YouTube. But basically, I think Vance is feeling really good about this game. And I think Sean Watson is mad. I think Sean Watson is like, I think we can be explosive. I think we can be more explosive than we have shown. He even said that I think that we can be the best offense in the country. And because he has the best player in the country. So he honestly, I think he is offended by their Louisville offense's play from the last game. And I think he's going to go out there and prove a point this week against Kentucky.
All right, great. Well, thank you for giving us a rundown of the Governor's Cup. Folks, we've moved our podcast to Friday so we can do these game reviews before game day. So get the scoop on the game. The teams, Mark does a ton of research. He'll post all of his previews. He breaks them up and puts them out on the website throughout the week before the game. But then we have a nice tidy broadcast right here that you can check out. Get your fill of every game and check us out this Friday and every Friday on Louisville.am's production of the Crunch Zone podcast that can be also checked out on, of course, thecrunchzone.com. So thanks a lot for joining us this week, and we'll catch you next Friday.
Go Cards.
Cars forever. I promise to rep the